I think when you go in your heart
Yeah.
and you connect your human self to the I am present divine part of you that is God, that's where you hit the sweet spot. And that's where you have presence because you are in the moment where, to me, God lives. And you can call that whatever that is for you, divine or whatever feels good for you to call it. I'm not afraid of the G word, but I don't follow a dogma or a thing.
Yeah.
I could go in any church. And if I like what the minister, the priest, the clergy is saying, I'll open up to it. If it doesn't resonate, I close my eyes and I go in there into my sacred heart and go myself to connect. And that's, again,
Yeah,
all
you're
just
not
my
judging it. You're
opinion.
just doing your own
And
thing.
everybody has their own, that is such a personal thing.
Welcome to another episode of Four Blonde Moms. This episode, we have two of us here. I'm Ann Donnelly and
Laura Killian in the she shed on my land. Welcome.
Yeah, we're in the lovely she shed. It's just today just felt like such a nice day. Finally, some sun, some warmth. Spring is finally here. And you can tell because I'm driving down, there's all farms around me and they're out with the tractors. So life is sprung up on the farm, isn't it?
Yeah, the trees are budding. It's beautiful. And hearing all the birds just awakening. I love it. I love this time of year. And I think it's important to feel it because, boy, the hot comes quick and the summer comes, which I love as well. But it's like spring is kind of fast in upstate New York.
Yeah.
But really, really awesome. So take the time.
It takes forever to get started, really. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I'm trying to do all my gardening now, and it's like one bad weekend, and I can't do it, you know. And then it's just like weeds everywhere.
Yeah,
I've already got a bunch of weeds already, and I'm like, damn, why don't you give me some time?
Yeah, time is a thing. We were just talking about the astrology and how following your rhythm and how making sure you take the time to really be in the present moment. And I feel like, if you're not paying attention, spring can come in a blink. And like you said, if you don't get the mulch down and you don't get the things planted, all of a sudden everything's grown over and it's a big fat pain. But really, like, enjoying the mulching, enjoying instead of just getting it done so I can look at it so I can do one more thing. And we're at a time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gardening, because it's just, I bought a house that has too much landscaping for me. And I can't afford to hire somebody. So it's like, live with it. I try to minimize as much as possible. You know, live a bit with it being a little messy. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, hold me to this. I am having pool parties all season, regardless of what my garden looks like. Right? I don't care about the weeds. People can come, have fun. Don't judge me for my being.
I would never judge you for that because I'll.
Yeah, I know.
If it's 85 and it's high, I'm not going to be looking at your house.
I
see that you weeded around.
I have about one party a summer because that's the thing. I'm like, oh no, it's not good enough yet. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's the end of the summer and I'm like crazy trying to make it look a bit nice around the pool area. And if it's at night, then I'm not going to see as much.
Now, that was a snake year. That's we're in the
terrible.
Horse year now. Yeah, no more perfection. No more grind. No more pressure.
No more.
No more not following your soul's light.
Yeah.
Present moment.
But I really struggle with that, though. So let's, Laura's going to do a job on me here. No, but I really do. And I've overcome a lot. And this session is going to be about mindfulness. So get ready. Because we're two people that have gone on our journeys and I think we're kicking ass now. So
yeah,
listen to us because I'm going to tell you some good stuff. But I just always, when it comes to the house, when it comes to the yard, I just really have an issue with that, like worrying. And like, so the guy that I bought the house from lives next door to me and he kept it beautifully.
Right.
Right. But he's retired now. Now, I don't know how he did it before. And he said he struggled. right? And it turned into a big job. And that's one reason why they wanted to move. And now his new house is becoming as much of a landscaped oasis as mine is.
Yeah.
But he's always telling me, and a slave to it. And, you know, he's always giving me good, like, motivational talks and stuff. But I'm still like, oh, no, Jim must think.
Well, so that's the thing. It's so funny how we came up with this mindfulness word, because it's actually out of getting out of the mind. So mindfulness is paying attention to the actions of the mind, but it's actually the heart that does. So do we need to put the mind in the passenger seat and let the heart drive? Because if you don't, the mind's ruminating, what's next? What do I have to do next? How does it look? What does he think? Why did I buy this place? There's so much. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
When are the weeds coming? Uh-oh, it's going to rain Saturday. And if you were in your heart and getting out of the mind, because the mind is full of, if you were in your heart and you were like, what do I feel like doing today? I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'm going to go sit for a minute. And like, what's my why? Why do you want your gardens to look good?
Mm-hmm.
Is it so the neighbor will say it looks good, or does it make you feel good? So what's your why? Because then if you're there and you close your eyes and you get back to your why, well, the why is when there's the colors in there and I'm in the pool on my float and the colors are really kind of like rainbowy chakra colors. Like, is that your why? Because then it's going to motivate you to go. And I'm going to put them like this, and I'm just going to do this section today. And that's good enough. And then it becomes like you're present to it, almost where you might even get a little lost in it because you're not in your mind. Checking your chats here. You're not seeing what you got to do and respond to later, but you're right there in that moment and just chunking it out. So then it feels so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Just looking around, if it's that big and beautiful and I haven't seen it yet, it may just be overwhelming the mind because you're making stories about it.
But I really am.
I do like your hands in the dirt. Do you know your...
I do a bit. And it's so funny. It's like, for me, it's the resistance to start. Right? The resistance to get started. And then once I get out there and get going, I think part of it is because I'm not great at it. You know? All right? Like, I guess all people kind of have a little resistance to something that they're not great at. You know? But... because like I kill plants and all that, but still it's like, but like he has done such a good job too. So in a way I want to honor him.
Well, that's not your job.
I know, but he's done such a great job.
Yeah, like, he did, because that was his log.
And like, so all throughout the season, there's new things coming up. Like he's done an amazing job of that. And like when I lived in Ireland, I tried to do nice gardens around our home and everything too. And I tried to do vegetables and things like that. I read all up on it. You know, I'm crazy like that. You know, I'm so, and I'll plan, and then never get it done. You know, so now, and it's like, I'm using AI. AI has been really helpful because it will say, just go out, do 15 minutes, just pick up those branches. Cause I'll do, I speak into my AI and I look out the back window and I talk about all the different things that need to be done. And I'll say, what would be the best order to do them in so that I'm not. Yeah. Sometimes if you do things in the wrong order, you're doing.
Yes. And, or you're, if you're, there's too much and too much overwhelm, you're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
But really, like, again, it I'm always going to come back to presence because that's really
No, you're right. I should just be enjoying.
Yeah, presence is the right now when I'm sitting here is the only thing.
That's what it's there for. It's not like a like stately garden that people are paying to come see.
And what are your most productive hours?
Yeah.
Ayurvedically speaking, which Ayurveda, the science, you can Google it. It's the sisterhood to yoga, but it teaches us about our elements. And the air part of you is the creative. The air part of you is that can go do texts and marketing and emails and do this beautiful job of attracting people to mm-hmm. that. I mean, that's like your creativity.
Yeah.
And your call to flowers is part of that creativity. But air doesn't usually have that fire to complete as naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of do a workaround to get more fire, which would be, what are my productive hours?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, 10 to 2 is my window. After 2 o'clock, I'm kind of like dribble.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I got a little bit of a slow start. And mm-hmm. part of that is, you know, now being 54. So what are your productive hours? So let's say your productive hours are the same, 10 to 2. 10:30 to 1 o'clock today, I'm going to shut off my phone, mm-hmm. put on my 80s music, whatever it may be. I'm going to mm-hmm. get out there, or maybe you want it quiet. Start, but I'm going to start with presence, and I'm going to give myself that sort of uninterrupted time, because that's your productive hours. Then maybe you're hungry or thirsty or you need a shower. And, you know, as you start to kind of come down, it's, again, it's called mindfulness, but it's really presence and being in your heart and doing what feels good in the moment and the rhythm. And it sounds like la 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 to some people, like, we got to get out. Yeah.
That's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that it was all like, oh, man, all that new agey stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then I realized.
Work harder. Get it to.
It's always.
Beat yourself up. Right? Take out the baseball bat. Feel shame for it. What's wrong with you? Why are you not there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Useless. Right.
And the fact that, you know, I don't know if it's you can control how you feel. I don't want to use the word control. Would be a good word for it. How did I not use the control word? It's like through your thinking. You know, you manage your thinking, and that's manages how you feel about yourself, versus the other way around. It's not that you feel bad about yourself and then you think something bad. It's because you're thinking something bad. You feel bad. Where if you're thinking better thoughts about yourself and you're feeling better, you just manifest better.
True. So the power of positive thinking
yeah.
is really what you're speaking to, which is a great place to start. But the mind is duality based. Mind
yeah.
is right, wrong, good, mm-hmm. bad, shouldn't. It's meant to say, hey, Laura, don't cross the road. There's a car coming. I shouldn't cross the road or I'm probably going to get hit. Right. But the problem is where our heart says, wow, this is like, look how grateful. And I can feel like I walk out my back door and there's all that. How can it not feel like nature is there because it's nurturing you and all the different colors and all the different species?
Yeah.
And so to just feel present in it is the heart. And the heart doesn't have judgment. The heart doesn't say, you know, this is really beautiful, Anne. And you should get your butt inside and get more work. The heart doesn't say that.
No.
The heart just enjoys the moment.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the moment.
It enjoys people. It enjoys pleasure. It enjoys alone time and quietness and stillness. And it's why people go to the mountains or they go to the oceans or they look out on a farmland and they see a bald eagle in the tree and they're like, like it's just, doesn't need to do anything. It just makes you feel like everything's going to be okay.
So how did you get to this point where this is so natural for you?
Practice.
From when did you start?
When did I start? So I worked for a dentist in Ballston Lake, Dr. Roselle, great guy. And it was the early 90s. And he had cassette tapes of Wayne Dyer.
Oh.
And like this series. And he had a little, like, put it in your car, put the audio cassette in. And I was like, can I listen to those? And he was like, sure. And he gave me the cassette thing to listen to in my car.
This
was in 1993.
So Wayne wasn't just the, like, because at first he was like a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
More than a mind.
Yes. Yes. He started as power of positive thinking, really, you know, and his voice and his story and his teachings just resonated. And I would go back and be like, I'm done with this cassette tape series. Can I have the right, you know, there'd be 8 or 10 and a thing. And then he'd give me the next one and the next one. And I just soaked it up, which just led me on my path. I mean, dental assistant then. I went back to hygiene school and I had to take communications in English and I wasn't there. And I wrote an essay on the mind-body connection and he like gave me a D and he was like, he said, there's no scientific
problem. Oh.
I was like, oh man, where is that? You know, it's everywhere. And so just, I just followed the breadcrumbs, stayed mm-hmm. present and just listened to more. And then Yolanda Van Zandt was a coach. And
yes. Oprah. One of my favorite moments is her.
Until today, I read that daily reading like for years and years. And then I met a group actually in Glens Falls called the Holistic Healthcare Network Group. And they were early out. This was in 2004. And they were doing, we would give samples of craniosacral and Pilates and Reiki and yoga and acupressure, reflexology, feng shui, mm-hmm. things that were not as popular. And we would meet in the basement of the Glens Falls Hospital. Uh-huh. Dana Russell of the Salt Fame, she was there as a mm-hmm. massage therapist. And we would give samples to people, you know. Places. Yeah. But a lot of people were like, what's that? You know, what is that? And so I think that just got me started. Then I got certified in Reiki 1 and 2, 05, 06, and just mm-hmm. kind of kept going from there. Then I became a trauma coach and alignment coach with Kim Beekman. And I do tuning forking. And I just, but really, to answer your question, it's the practice. So I have a routine, a self-care routine that it's not the same all the time, but where I am, you know, doing either some yoga or even lifting weights, but then after stillness, closing my eyes, mm-hmm. taking my breath, learning how to do breath work, learning how to do forgiveness prayers, learning how to go into my sacred heart, and just every day making sure I fill my cup first. Mm-hmm. That brings me into presence.
So in the morning, you do that, which is a good time for you because you're saying that's not when you're big. Energy time in.
It's not. And also the why is, even if you're not a big morning person, mantra, you know, to do anything that gets you to close your eyes and go inward and get those messages of your heart, it fills your cup first. So you go out in the world and you start giving to a job, or maybe you're preparing your kids for mm-hmm. school, or, you know, sure. And you start giving energetically, you give your prana, your life force energy out, and the cup starts to get empty or gets dry, but I've filled up. So I'm like in myself. So I'm less likely to be triggered by getting stung by a bee when I'm out trying to garden, or, you know, because I've taken care of me, or maybe I don't have like road rage that morning because somebody cuts me off, but I did my practices. Yeah, so I'm in myself.
Yeah.
Well, over the years, that's just, I can't not do it. Short-tempered, or I will be in my mind thinking thoughts, and not that I'm enlightened, I do have those moments,
yeah,
but they're less and less because I will not give up that self-care.
Yeah.
And that is really how it can start with positive thinking. It can start with an affirmation written in your bedroom, or a vision of what you want your life to feel like. Maybe you start writing a vision of like, what does it feel like when I'm in my backyard?
Right.
You know, there's ease.
Yeah.
Or like, it's about guilt and shame, which is useless.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But just presence. And I think when you go into your heart, it's like everything's going to be okay. And I think nature is another. Some people who go out for a morning walk,
mm-hmm.
right? They're moving and they're not really connecting completely to their heart, like in a closed stillness, but they're smelling the air. They see that bird. They're, you know, that is, somebody might go out for a run. And again, they're burning off. Being outside, really, nature is like a natural healer. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, it's, this isn't us saving the land. The land is saving us. And that's why we need to like take care of it. So for me, it's come with a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like I've done 20, 25 years of trying to practice over and over, and I fall off like doing it regularly, or I go on vacation and I quickly can feel like short tempered or irritated.
Yeah. And you wonder why. And then like, oh yeah, I didn't do that this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I've gotten out of the habit actually, because for years I would listen to Abraham Hicks on YouTube every morning, whatever came up, on YouTube, right, in my feed. I figured that's what I need to listen to this morning. And then I end up leaving it on probably while like, I'm in the shower, and because I just love listening to her and Abraham.
Yeah.
And that would be sort of my morning.
Right. And you let it be organic, whatever came up. Yeah. So same thing with the garden. Like you go out and you just let it be whatever it's going to be today. So, yeah, you get away from it and then you can't feel. So when did you start doing that? Like, when do you feel like you stepped into mindfulness?
Well, I was in Ireland, right? And I was going through tough times. I mean, it's just tough anyway when you're, like, away from family, not having a lot of friends. You're bringing up children. We had two businesses. We're trying to farm.
Yeah.
So there was so much going on. I wasn't very religious. That's what I also wanted to talk about. I was brought up Catholic, you know, but I really wasn't, it just didn't do it for me. So I've gotten away from that. But Herod was living in Ireland, right, where like everybody's going to Mass on Sunday. So we started doing that for a while. And I liked some of it, but then it was the duality of people that were bullying me in the PTA would then be like helping the priest on Sunday and being all like
godlike. We'll just say God. We're just going to use God and all those words.
And know? I was like, I just cannot come anymore. It just is so hurtful to me, you know, and Oprah. So I tend to jump on whatever Oprah was doing, you know, because so much of her stuff, it wasn't just that I was like, oh, whatever Oprah says, but it did resonate with me.
Yeah.
You know, that it just happened that whatever her journey was a bit in line with what I was needing at the time. So she started with Deepak Chopra. So she was doing these meditation, like,
drunkies.
Yeah. So I was doing some of those, and I found that really helpful.
Yeah.
And then she did an online workshop with Brené Brown.
Yeah.
And it's when Oprah was kind of converting into doing stuff online versus on TV, which was good for me because I couldn't always watch her show over in Ireland. So the web stuff was great for me. So like I signed up and was doing all this stuff, and the Brené Brown's Gifts of Imperfection book, like really, like, resonated with me, and it really got me starting because it was, I think I was in Brussels, funny enough, at some conference, and they had to write on your hand, I am enough, and do a picture, you know, so it was like, I am enough, you know, and just being happy with that, because like I was saying, that up until that, it was always like, you got to work really hard. Like I grew up pretty poor, you know, and it was like, I got to get myself out of this. I got to work really hard. I got to be perfect in school. I got to get all A's. I got to go to college. I got to, you know, get a good job, you know, and not be a trouble to anyone. I got to get along with everyone. You know, it was always this pressure, 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 you know, and I did it.
Yeah.
I did it, and it worked for me for a long time. But then when I was getting to be 50 years old, right?
Your years.
And you're starting to realize, like, there's got to be more than that, you know, and that wasn't working as well for me anymore, you know. And then she had Eckhart Tolle on. I don't know if I told you the story that I was on the webcast with them.
You did. That's awesome.
Yeah. So because it, like, again, it resonated with me so much. So he wrote a book called The New Earth.
Yeah.
Now, I had a couple of people that I worked with and one woman that was like my naturopath. And she was a friend of mine as well. And she talked about the power now.
Yeah.
And another woman that was a client of mine, I did a website for her retreat center. And she had a link to Eckhart Tolle's website because he meant a lot to her too. So I was like, oh, this Eckhart Tolle. You know how when things come from various.
You're like, I better go get the book.
Yeah. You're like, I better listen to this. So his new book came out, A Newer.
Yeah.
This was like 2003, 2005, something like that.
Yeah.
And she was doing a chapter a week, and they were doing this online, her and Eckhart in the studio, and then it was the first huge webcast. And there was millions of people all over the world listening to it. And then I got on their online. So I was on the website. So I signed up and they had workbook and they had a place where you could ask questions. So I asked a question because I watched the replay, because live it would be like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So my husband at the time and I were out and we came into the house. I don't know where the kids were, but I had a message on my phone and there was a message on our landline voicemail. And it was, "This is the Oprah Winfrey team. We really liked your question. We'd like you to come on the show." So I was like, "Oh my God." So I got to be, everybody else was on by Skype, but they were worried about the Irish internet being so slow. I was just on the phone. So you don't see me.
Okay.
It's just like Anne from Ireland and the little thing. And so my question was like, I'm really enjoying the book and getting a lot out of it and feeling that I was getting better at practicing presence. How do I discuss this with my children?
Great question.
So he was like, "Oh yeah," and he said, "but it's taking them into nature." Yeah, he was very big on that. He's very big on just being in nature. And he said, "But don't say like this is an oak tree. It's called an oak tree, like, because we get into using labels and thinking, well, that's what that is.
Yeah,
like a mom is one thing that you do." But you're not a mom, you know, kind of thing, you know, because then people then connect too much with that and have like a false sense of what that is. So it's funny because my kids and I used to joke because just the way he said it and his accent is like, "It's not an oak tree. It's called an oak tree."
Yeah.
And my daughter, she was little at the time, had done like a drawing of it, of a tree. And like, "It's not a tree. It's called an oak tree." And I thought that was so cute. Eckhart Tolle.
He brought up the pain body, right?
Yeah.
That is,
and doing a full body meditation. And that's one thing I'm used to do a lot more than I do.
But the pain body is the mind's, right? How do we stop a pain body? We starve the negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the beginning when we were talking, like, he teaches a pain body is an accumulation of energy that comes up and it feeds. Like, you're not doing your garden. Stored, he's gonna be mad. What a shame you're not keeping up. That's the pain body coming up and just beating you over. And it's useless. And the way to stop that train is to start it with either "that's not true," questioning,
questioning or, is a very good exercise.
Or just that positive thinking of it's good enough. And oh, my perfectionism when I was in school and I used to get A's. Do I need to do that? What is my why? Let's go back to like, what's my why? What's my reason? Why am I doing this? And why am I making this feel so hard? What am I going for? Mm-hmm. Because there's an internal feeling that you're going for. And it's the external thing being done and perfect is giving you what? Like, add a girl from your friends, that's fine. That might make you feel good. Is it that when things are neat, it makes your energy feel like it flows better? Like, you get to have your why.
Yeah.
And nobody needs to judge that.
Yeah. And there's a childhood thing too. And it's funny because my brother came up from Maryland a couple of weekends ago. It was great. Because we don't get together that often. And we had all of us together, all the siblings together for a couple of events that he was around for. But he was staying at my house, right? And I knew he wasn't going to judge me. But I shared with him, though, and I think this is one of my childhood things that is one of the reasons why I have a thing about this, is that because we lived in a house that had a lot of the owner of the house had done all this beautiful landscaping stuff, and my mother couldn't keep up with it. And I think she always felt the shame. And I always felt that from her, you know, that she wished that she had the energy, the health, the money and whatever to do it better than she did. So I think that is still in there.
Yeah, like a lineage.
I need to get it out. That also is pain body.
Yeah.
Because there's a communal pain.
Yeah. It's a lineage or expectation or not good enough pain body that's lingering in there or something like that.
So I'm always like, why didn't I just move into a skimmer horn? You know? But But, and people come and they, whenever anybody comes, like even like the National Grid guy, when they were putting in new meters and stuff and he had to go in the back for some reason. And he was like, wow, this is beautiful. And of course, my mind, I'm like, wow, weeds.
Yeah.
And no, it is beautiful.
It is. Thank you.
And I've got it.
Thanks. That's why I bought it.
I've got at least two pairs of cardinals living there, you know, so I've got the birds. I've got lots of birds.
So yeah. Tomorrow you do your old school body scan that you loved, and you go out there and you stand there, or you go do it out there, and then you open your eyes and keep it really simple.
Because
That grind and that pressure to me is going to help.
Life's too short, right? I should know now at this age. And my time is short too. So it's like, why am I wasting time fretting over that and wasting my good energy? You know?
Yeah. How did we get into that? I mean, one of the things I see that is really the, I have to work hard, get the things, put it in retirement. I'm getting old. My body's going to shut down. I need enough money to, what was it, sit and eat TV dinners and watch TV at the tray table. And it's like, but then what? Like, so you did all that hustle.
Right.
But did you, I mean, they say the cliche, like, did you enjoy the ride?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Because it's on your deathbed. You're not going to be thinking about
how hard I worked.
Yeah. That's true.
But I enjoy hard work.
Yeah.
Right? In presence. It's all back to presence. Yeah. And to me, the only way to get there is to close your eyes and bring it inward. And all you have to do is just learning how to breathe is the first. If you don't want to get into yoga or meditation, like just closing your eyes and depression and all the things trying to get people to settle their nervous system is breath.
It's different for different people.
Absolutely.
Because for some people, it's a mindfulness video. For some people, it's a prayer. For some people, it's yoga.
Yeah.
Some people, it's just walking.
Yeah.
You know, it's just figuring out what it is. And it might be something different for you each day.
It is. It is.
What do you feel?
So more fiery like that.
So
10 years ago, it was very, I'm very regimented. Get up.
Yeah.
You know, do some breath, do some child's pose, do some yoga. Once your yoga flow is done, do some mantra, then meditate, and then that will set my day. And now, sometimes it's like a cup of tea out on the front porch, feeling the body scan by feeling. We do a thing called feeling process, feeling like, did something bother me? Did somebody say something? Where do I feel it in my body? And just getting yourself used to like giving attention to what you feel and letting, not needing to figure it out. Where did they come from? And just presence to, that felt kind of yucky. Let me just feel through it. And that is filling your cup.
Yeah.
So
it's funny you mention, how do you pronounce it? Yolana
Banzant.
Yolana Banzant. Who I learned of through Oprah again, because then Oprah gave her own show. So she was a guest on Oprah several times that she had her own show. So around the time that all these web things started, she was doing one. And it was, I don't remember exactly what the topic was, but one of the people in the audience spoke up. And she was talking about how, like, working really hard, now you got to work really hard to get what you want. And Yolana was like, no, life. Oh, because it's like you get in the middle of it and you're like, life is so hard. And she's like, no, life is so easy. And my daughter must have been with me in the kitchen watching this, right? And she drew me a picture. We put it on the fridge. I was looking to see if I got a picture of it somewhere. I think I do. So I've had her do another one of me more recently because that was a whole life changer for me. It was a whole life changer. So now whenever I get that feeling in my head, I'm like, and she's got this too. So I'm glad that my children have picked up some of the.
Well, that's what when you said Eckhart Tolle said, go outside, and that's awesome. But also like, how do I teach my children? To me, it's by modeling and vibrating.
Absolutely.
They see it and they learn. Treating somebody else or how you take care of myself. Like I never felt guilty for going and taking the time for me because it helped me be more present with them. And so it was like, no, it's actually okay to shut the door and say, I need 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Like, mom's taking care of herself. But I mean, I didn't do that early years. And they'll tell you I was like burning them up and controlling them and screaming at them about their needs. And, you know, totally.
Well, like, and when I asked that question of them, it was a time when, like I said, we had two businesses. I was trying to run my own business and help my husband with his business, farming stuff coming up, and we didn't know what we were doing.
So everything felt hard,
right? In a foreign country. And so the kids would get out of school. Right. So I'm working in the office and sometimes they'd come in the office and work in the conference room until then I could break away and then I'd bring them home. Right. So then I'm cooking dinner, doing laundry, helping the kids with their homework, trying to do some of my own stuff. And you're just thinking, this is way too hard. Whereas if I was just present with my children, enjoying being with the children and not thinking about that other stuff.
Yeah, I wonder how much you tasted your food, that meal that you prepared,
right?
Like even fixing dinner and being present. But those years are hard. There's a lot of needs.
Yeah. So then getting more into the Eckhart Tolle thing, then I really started thinking better that, like, because you're not productive. Yeah. And it's funny because back then, right, I always think that I started this whole, you got to put on your own oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because around that time, I was writing about that.
Yeah.
And I was also writing about, what was the other thing I was thinking? Something like that. You know, about, you know, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Also, wait, I forgot what the other thread was. Dang. Oh, well, but that was an important one too.
Well, that is self-care. That's what we're talking about.
Right? But in modeling this for your children.
Yeah.
Too. It's just so.
Yeah. I mean, because that's walking the walk. And that's, I think, what you were talking about with the ladies at the PTA bullying you, but then going and being all spiritual or godlike, but not really being kind.
I was going through that.
You know, that's.
I was going through that also.
Yeah. I mean, that feels hypocritical or inconsistent would be a good word, right? And there's judgment in there from, to me, that is the one thing as humans, that if we stop judging each other, stay in their own lane and do their own thing, and we just let them, because judgment is that piece that you were, you know, that couldn't have felt good.
Well, but, and, you know, trying not to judge them, you know, because it was really tough, because here I'm living in a foreign country. Right. Now I'm pretty strong. Right. So I'm the type of person that I would do that, you know, because I'd be like, oh my God, I could never move to another country, you know. So I moved to another country and then I was chairperson of the parent association. And then the local women were like, they weren't having the way. And they would stand up and talk over me in meetings. Like it was crazy town. It was crazy town. And I'm like, how is this happening? And then after the meeting, the other women will be like, oh, Ann, we're so lucky to have you because you stand up to them. But I'm like, I need you in the meeting to say this stuff, not after the fact, because I'm not going to take this meeting.
Yeah, that's hard.
It was just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it was happening.
Well, let's talk about, you said you wanted to loop back to religion. So tell me what that felt like. So they were regular churchgoers, Catholic faith, Roman Catholic.
Faith. Most of them, there might have been an occasional Protestant in there. And it is so interesting in Ireland, right? Because the Catholic Church has had such an influence over the culture there, the way people feel about themselves there. And one of the reasons why I moved here was because my daughter was really bullied in school. And I felt, and even from teachers, there's this bullying atmosphere. So there wasn't still priests and nuns teaching. But those teachers had been taught by priests and nuns.
Mm.
So I feel like there was just this whole, like, kind of judgy bullying. And, like, I hope all of Ireland doesn't hate me. Because I know there's some wonderful things, right? But I do feel a lot of people will understand that. Or even there was a movie with Cillian Murphy about there was abuse going on Eventually, you realized there was abuse going on in this convent where girls were staying, and they were like, you better not say anything because your girls won't be able to come to this school and you won't be able to do business and you won't, like, there was just all this, like, if you don't toe the line.
I think for me, I'm going to speak all personal because everybody has their own right to believe whatever other people's beliefs. Think that the church was created for community, right? A place to gather, a place to pray together. Just like if I only need prayers, I have a whole spiritual community that I text and say, hey, can you send some prayers? Can you send some violet flame to like this thing? Because there is that collective energy and there is the power of that. And then having community to bring a meal if somebody was struggling. I think church was made to bring community, whatever the religion was. Yeah. And there's all different forms. And I think that was also the distortion, that there's some sort of a right one and a wrong one. So if you call God Buddha, it must be wrong. And so for me, like God, divine, angels, nature, like I can go out in nature and see a bald eagle and feel like that's God talking to me. Yeah. I don't think it's some specific guy, you know.
Yeah.
I actually think it's me because I am God.
Yes.
Because we are that.
When we are
oneness, we are, if we're from one, then we are a part of God. God is us, our I am present self. And so I think the intention was good for church and community. The intention was to gather and to be grateful for the what God, what divine, what source, what the sun gives us, what teaches us. But really, we're all brothers and sisters. I really do believe that. And it's separation and judgment that get everything so distorted and so right, wrong. And I also think the sin thing and the fear was, again, it was a good intention to like your neighbor, do the right thing, be kind. Don't go stab somebody behind their back or don't go stab somebody. That's not kindness. That's not godlike. But then somehow that fear of God got distorted in people. Like, I know my mom like felt bad that if she didn't go to church or she didn't take communion all the time, that, you know, it was wired in her that she's bad and wrong. And again, I think it came from do the right thing, but then fear got so imposed that then people felt afraid if they didn't follow a certain thing, they were going to go down in the shitter. And I always say to people, I may be wrong. I may die and the devil and Donald is sitting there going, you were wrong. You're going that way. But I don't even believe in the devil. I believe we in us, around us. I don't think there's a place to go get more God, but I think when you go in your heart and you connect your human self to the I am present divine part of you that is God, that's where you hit the sweet spot. And that's where you have presence because you are in the moment where, to me, God lives. And you can call that whatever that is for you, divine, or whatever feels good for you to call it. I'm not afraid of the G word, but I don't follow a dogma. Church. And if I like what the minister, the priest, the clergy is saying, I'll open up to it. If it doesn't resonate, I close my eyes and I go in there into my sacred heart and go myself to connect. And that's, again, all just that's my opinion.
You're just doing your own thing.
And everybody has their own, that is such a personal thing. It's the infliction of the belief on somebody else. And that, again, that's just what I believe. But I can see where when you have somebody who's going regularly, praying to God, talking to God in church, and then they turn around and they bully you, it's like, I'm confused.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, it's the part of them that is disconnected from them here in presence to be able to really kind of be. You can't be cruel to another person. You don't judge. Right. They're just doing. There's Anne wearing her funky shoes and her cool Converse sneakers doing her thing. And you don't need to make her feel like crap for you to feel better because you're so plugged in that you feel good.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of bad feelings all over the place.
Yeah, hurtful.
Yeah, in the schools.
Exclusion and separation.
Parent association.
Judgment, separation, exclusion.
Yeah. I still have a bit of a bad feeling going back to Ireland. Like when that last time I went back was when my son got his bachelor's degree. I didn't go to that part of County Cork. I just didn't want to pay to have to rent a car or anything. So I just stayed citywide.
Yeah.
But I did also feel like there's really nothing there I want to see. I just want to see my kids really when I go to Ireland. I know there's some beautiful things.
Oh, I loved Ireland.
When I tell people, like, I lived in Ireland for 20 years, like, oh, did you love it? And I said, yeah, until I didn't anymore,
yeah.
You know? And then I do have some bad feeling. And, like, when I watched that Killian, I got really emotional watching that Killian Murphy movie, and my daughter didn't get it. And I'm like, it's just bringing back these feelings because I do feel like, if you don't toe the line, you're like,
yeah,
you're cheated. He's full Irish, like his parents are both from there, but he was brought up in London, was treated differently. And that was really hurtful for him because he really felt like that was his place to be, you know, still does, he's still there. But he thought it was because he thought racism. He thought it was because I was American.
It might have been.
And then the woman that was a friend of mine that also babysat my kids was German.
It's such a
kind of on the out.
And you're not one of me, but I believe in God, which is one of us, which is all of us, which means we're all there.
And it's kind of like, who do you think you are to tell us how to do things kind of thing? That's like, well, I'm the chairperson of this organization, but I'm a very democratic person, which also makes them wonder. So I don't know. Like I couldn't win.
Yeah.
I couldn't win either way. They liked it when I did stuff for them. Right, if I did the website, if I did this and that, but they didn't like when I was
selective judge.
In charge of
Cheers to selective
judge. Right? Cheers to selective judge. Cheers. Right? I know.
Separation. Yeah. I mean, to me, you want to talk about the ultimate sin? Judgment. That's it.
Yes. And like I recently, I don't know if you saw, I was on a panel. Up at Silver Bay Wine.
Oh, I did
see a right. So it's four women, just whoever kind of volunteered too. But it was a great group of people, and we talked about women's invisible work. And then at the end, she was like, "What's one thing that, like, if you wanted to tell your younger self?" And it was, "Don't worry so much about what other people think of you." And here I am, like, it really is like the stifling, isn't it? Yeah. Like judgment. And so I often, because I'm a judgy person, but not in a mean-spirited way. I'm just very.
I mean, I think we all judge, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying it's the ultimate sin. Yeah. We're all human. We're not thinking it. I think there is the judgment and the hierarchy of like, I'm doing life better than you are, and I'm making choices better. It's like, okay, that's a judgment. But I mean, I judge when somebody's being a jerk and non-kind. So that's a judgment, I guess. I'm like, ooh. Mean.
Right.
That's a judgment.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like resonance, right? If we can come back to like what resonates. I'm sorry, you can do your thing over there, but it just doesn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
The way you're treating me is not somebody I want to be around. Feel good. There's less judgment in that and more just no thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big subject to get on. I mean, I work with a ton of clients, and so I work with religious trauma, and I work with, you know, Mormon population and all different beliefs, and like, married to a Roman Catholic Irish race.
We'll kill you.
I'll kill you in Ireland, you know. Family and all different beliefs and opinions and all just, I don't know, it just would be really nice if we just let everybody have their own opinion. So when I work with a client, I'm always like, it's all welcome here too. Because to each his own, really to each his own.
One of the things about religion that I always wanted to investigate it more, and I tried to get people, like for my podcast originally, of different kind of faiths to have this conversation, but it was hard to get everyone together. But I was at a conference for my dance fitness format, right? And it was the VIP brunch. So it was like the people that really wanted to better themselves in business as well as in the dance fitness world, mm-hmm. right? And so the woman that started it is there. So it's nice because you get to spend some time with her too and hear about how she's done it herself. And, you know, when we were talking about self-belief, and I was like, I wish you could bottle that and give it to me. And I'm like, I know I must have some because I've come as far as I have, you know. And one woman said her faith, that she knows Jesus has got her back. And she just knows that, like, Jesus has her back, that she could do anything, and that it's her faith that gives her that self-belief. And I'm like, yeah, but how do I get that? Like,
right here.
I know. It doesn't have to be Jesus.
No, it doesn't have to be Jesus.
It doesn't have to be Jesus.
And sometimes you might not know. You can ask. So your free will could say, you know, show me who my divine guides are. And again, it might be a version of your higher self. Well, it's not outside. It could be a version of your higher self. Yeah. It could be Archangel Michael. It could be an angel. It could be a bald eagle. It could be a ladybug. It could be, I love Jesus as well, outside of any dogma. It could be Mary Magdalene. It could be Lady Guadalupe, Divine Mother, which to me, they're, you know, at least Lady Guadalupe, Divine Mother, feel the same, like, essence to me. It could be, what is it, Archangel Uriel. Buddha is another, you know. And I remember Ganesha said, I'm not going to pray to some elephant.
What?
Some Ganesha elephant. And I'm like, but if that's in a, I don't know if it's Hindu or India culture, yeah. To me, you know, that's just a symbol of what the divine feels. But if somebody sees God as that, why do you care?
Yeah.
Like when I get on an airplane and I'm doing my violet flame, which is, you know, the divine power, the divine love, and the divine wisdom within that conception, the minute we're born. Frequency of light and the element of fire transmutes and transforms. But when I get on an airplane, I see Buddha at the top of my plane, and he's like, let's go get in the sun and let's have a good time. And I see Archangel Michael on the wing, and he's like, I got this. I got this flight. I got these people. And Jesus is holding up the bag, you know, and sometimes
so you got everybody on your
team. Because I want it, because I've asked for it, because I've brought it through my heart and my third eye and said, show me more of these divine beings. And again, they're a part of me. I am that. My higher self is a compilation. Why does it feel good? Because it feels like you've got somebody that's got your back.
Yeah.
But I don't really think it's separate from me. And I've asked for, who's Metatron? Show me more. Who's Archangel Raphael? Because I want to. I want as many people that want to hang out and remind me of who I am, and that I am of God, first part of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it, to other people, they want to keep it very like, nope, there's the Holy Spirit, there's God, and there's Jesus in there. And that's fine too. But I agree. It's very personal, but my faith has brought abundance and wisdom and love and self-care. It's it's literally the breath. Like, it is. Yeah, that's a good question. Is a physical realm electrician, master electrician, farmer, you know, on the board, bought up Roman Catholic, youngest of 12, hard worker. And he is very much believes in God. He enjoys going to church. We don't go every Sunday. He probably would like it if I facilitated that. But when the kids were young and you had to like feed them puffs and keep them quiet, and it was like stressful and I couldn't really go inward, I stopped loving that.
Why am I here?
I mean, I was just not even connected to myself. It just felt like it's so much to get there. But he's also very open to spirituality. He's not closed to it. He's not closed to anything I do. He's very supportive. And he's not one that it's like this about it. He goes inward. I see him at church. He says his prayers. I see him connecting. He loves the land, you know, when he's farming and he's out. Yeah. And so he goes hunting and he sits in a tree stand and he like goes inward and shuts the mind off. That's his way. Like, so he's not close to my level of spirituality and supports me 100%. And neither one of us have to do it the same way to have unconditional love in our life.
You can live that way without.
Yep. And we raised our kids and exposed them to the Catholic Church, and they, you know, they were baptized and brought them. And, you know, my daughter was kind of like, you know, bored in church and now like asks us to go. Like they all have, they'll find their own way to get enough exposure. And my kids also know that I have all these different beings that I like to connect to that just, again, it's for me, it's all about coming back to the. And so some days it's a masculine energy, some days it's a feminine energy, but it's really, it's still all the one.
And it's
me, I'm not afraid to say.
So this is the whole thing. Yeah. It's a journey. That's what we were saying. Like we're talking about our journeys today because it's not a destination.
No.
It's always kind of in flux, changing, you know, it's not like I got to get to the end of this.
Right.
It's being present and enjoying the moment.
It's the journey. It's the ride.
Right. Yeah. And not everybody has to be on, everyone's got their own journey. That's what I was curious about your husband, because like sometimes you've got to be with someone that thinks the same way you do and is in line with it. Or because I was battling a little bit, like I was saying, like my ex wanted to go to church on Sundays. You thought we should be taking the kids when they were like up for communion. You kind of had to take them or they wouldn't be able to get their communion, you know, that kind of thing. Because like the school is not a Catholic school, but it is run and owned by the Catholic Church. So it's like a Catholic school.
There's like an underlying
kind
of expectation. Yeah. I remember my niece being with me about, well, maybe she was 8 or 10 at church. And it was my husband's sister's daughter. And my husband's sister was there. And like, she must have been older. She must have been like 15, 16. And she wasn't going to do the Our Father, right? But her mother had brought them to church. They were raised Catholic. Again, not like shoved down their throat or anything. But like, there was an expectation there, you know. And I'm going to do the Our Father. And she was like, you know, she hadn't figured out what she believed in yet. And I just said to her, you know, maybe you do it because it makes your mom feel good, or maybe you choose. But sometimes I'll go do stuff with my husband and I might not really want to, but I'm like, well, this one, like I want to go.
It makes him feel
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't sell myself out.
Yeah.
Or I don't have any need to have a partner that wants to do yoga with me. I'm sure if I said, hey, will you do yoga with me? He would. Mm-hmm. But I don't need that.
You're comfortable enough in what you believe that you don't feel challenged.
Wouldn't that be like world peace?
Right?
Yeah, you and I do me.
Everyone.
Isn't that?
That's all your job.
You do you and I do me. The birds agree.
The birds agree. That's amazing. Have you ever read any Marianne Williams?
Yes. So her quote, who are you not to be, right?
Yeah.
That quote has stayed with me for a year. So bright and so boisterous.
Right.
And say, you know, and it's like, no, who are you not to be? But I can stay out here. You and I can sit here and podcast our beliefs because it's our birthright. And people could be listening to us right now and being like, I don't like what she just said. That's not true. Yeah. Right. And that's okay too.
Right.
It's not true for
exactly.
you. And that is.
I encourage people to investigate. And if they feel that they need something, you know, these are things that you can do. Read things, talk to people.
Yeah.
But like you said, even just sit and feel what seems right with you. And
cheers to selective judgment. Thank you so much for joining us in the She Shed today. If you resonated with our journeys to find a little more mindfulness and a lot less pain body, please share this episode with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks to Laura for joining me in this episode of Four Blonde Moms. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to a production of the North Country Media Network. Our mission is to document the professional legacies and success stories that drive our region forward. To discover more shows in our network, or to learn how we can help you own the conversation in your industry, visit us online at northcountry.media.